This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. Hello and welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. This is your host, the Vegas Golf Coach, Gaylord Rhodes. And today's episode, I'm excited to bring back a past guest, Chris Aoki. And in our first episode with Chris, we discussed teaching, her teaching philosophy, and just a little bit of her background in golf. And she's a phenomenal instructor, but I've always known Chris, and I met Chris and her partner Kirk way back in the early 19s as the putter sensei. And she was went on in 1998 to develop a putter fitting system for Henry Griffiths at the time called Fit to Aim. And it was a phenomenal approach to putting that was all result driven. And it's a phenomenal story, and she's going to come on today and talk to us about it. But she now has a new YouTube channel up called Fit to Aim with Chris Aoki, and I believe she has 6 videos up there. And if you struggle with your putting, I highly recommend you head over to YouTube and check this out. And I'm sure she's going to give us some information on it. But to kind of lay out the groundwork of the show, Chris was instrumental in discovering how head design, hosel design, lie angles, shaft length, and actually the lines on your putter affected your ability to actually aim. There's so many putters out there that and individuals that putt and really struggle because they actually just can't aim the putter correctly based on the style and design of the putter. So with that being said, I'm excited to bring Chris onto the show today, and it's just a blessing to have her talk about putting. She's probably one of the most knowledgeable individuals on putting that I've ever met, and I trust her with my putting. And she helped me years ago discover the style of putter I needed to use, and it all kind of evolved from the pioneering of this putter fitting system and all the work she did and studies she did. And with that being said, I want to welcome Chris into the show today. Chris Aoki, welcome back to Fairways and Greens. How have you been?
Really good.
So last time at the end of the show, we talked about bringing you back to discuss your Fit to Aim putter fitting system. And, you know, it's a result-driven approach to putting. And I want my audience to know, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit in the intro, but I want them to know that when I first saw your Fit to Aim putter fitting system, I was kind of blown away by all the different aspects of it. So kind of give us a little history on it, and then I want you to talk about, you know, the different aspects of the design of the putter and how important that is and what you discovered over the years that you've developed this.
Yes, absolutely. I guess, you know, you could really say it started when I was pretty young and almost a beginner golfer, teenager, and I got so that I could hit the ball pretty well, but I could never putt. I was frustrated with it. I'd go an entire round rimming the ball out from the hole and couldn't figure it out. And somehow that stuck with me over the years. And as I was teaching, people, you know, my students would ask me, how do I choose a putter? How do I know which one is best for me? And I started using a laser, and actually I got the idea of using a laser from Carl Welty, who is a well-known teacher, and he actually taught in my area. And I was helping him with the clinic, and he was using this big laser. They didn't have laser pens in those days. We're talking about the 70s. But I bought this big laser, and I started to test putters with my students, and trying to figure out what's happening with different putters. Why, you know, why do some people putt well with some putters and not with other putters? And what kinds of things and tendencies are going on? And this went on for about 20 years. And within that period of time, toward the last 3 or 4 years or so, I started fitting putters off the rack. So I try to find different putters, head shapes, lengths, lie angles, things like that that were on the shelf, and tried to find the best one using the laser. So I started to realize if they aimed better, they putted better. So then what happened is Henry Griffiths was developing trying to develop a putter fitting system, and I was talking to the president, and I told him, well, here's what I do. And he said, well, let's take a look at it. So we did that, and 2 days later, their R&D guy came to see me, and we partnered up, and I told them what I needed, and, you know, they could do it from the standpoint of the building end, and that's how the system came about. And I'd done it so much that I knew exactly what I needed, that I needed different hosel shapes, I needed head shapes, I needed line combinations, lengths, lies, offsets, all of these things that I could actually design a putter from the beginning for someone who needed something. Every person is going to see the putter differently. One person who's going to aim the putter straight, the next person is going to not aim that same putter straight. So, it's very much an individualized thing, which is why it's custom fit.
Right.
So that's how it got started.
Well, I remember the first heads that came out. I believe David Dell was involved with Henry Griffiths back there, and did some of the head designs initially. And so Dave's gone on to do his thing with putting too. But I was always fascinated, and in fact, I think he probably learned a lot of what he's doing from you. And so I know that there's multiple components in a putter that all need to be considered in putting. And so in your mind, what would be the first aspect of the putter that you'd want to look at if you were out there trying to figure out what kind of putter works the best for you? What do you think is the most important aspect of the putter?
Actually, it's kind of individualized depending on the person.
Good.
And I have fitters throughout the country. And the nice thing about the system is that they can impart their putting philosophy, and the putting system works. So I have my philosophy, my other fitters around the country have theirs, and also individually with the person, if I'm finding that their putting stroke is difficult because of posture, for example, or how they're holding the handle, the arm length, things like this, that would be my very first thing that I look at. But for me personally, I usually start with the length and lie because I want to get that person in the right posture and balance so that putting doesn't seem like they have to rush through it because they're uncomfortable or it's hard to concentrate because something doesn't seem right, that kind of thing. So I think that's the first thing. You have to feel comfortable. You have to feel like you can actually make a stroke from the setup position.
And so you think length would be a pretty important part to that?
Yes, yes. And we check different lengths. I do a little bit with eye position, because the other thing that I've noticed, everyone sees something differently if you were looking at a poster. Some people will stand farther away. Some people will stand closer. Some people, you know, I use this example, which is really interesting. I do a lot of putting classes. So there might be 4 or 5 people, sometimes 10 people in the class, and I'll have them look at a picture that I have on the wall in my studio. And I'll ask each person, is that picture level? And each person will answer differently. Some will say, oh, the right side's lower, the left side's lower. And then I'd ask them, how did you determine whether it's level or not? And I'd get 10 different answers. Oh, I looked at the right corner, the left corner. I looked at the ceiling, comparing it to the top of the picture. I looked at the bottom of the picture and looked at the floor. I looked at the sides and looked to see they were parallel, straight up and down. It's amazing how many answers. I looked at the actual picture to see what's in the picture and if the people looked level or inside the frame. And it's amazing the different answers that we get. And that answers what putter fitting is all about for me. And that's that we all look at something differently, determine if it's aligned differently by looking at different aspects of the putter.
That's fascinating. Fascinating. I now that you talk about it, same thing when I have people looking at my simulator screen at my target, and some people, it's a square target, and some, you know, it's interesting how they perceive the target and how they aim at it. It's amazing. So
it is amazing. Yeah. And how individualized it is.
Yeah.
And once they get a putter that fits them, they're thinking, how could I have just picked something off a shelf?
Exactly. Well, I found, you know, going through the process with you, I found a certain hosel type, a certain lie angle style, hosel style, and then the lie angle getting correct, and then having no lines on anywhere on the putter, I could aim it. The minute you put a line on it, I'm off the chart, left or right, depending on where the line is. If it's on the top of the putter, I aim it left. If it's in the back of the putter, you know, down on the flange, I aim it right. And it was so frustrating to me because I finally just had to take all the lines off. And then I recall when I was a kid, you know, none of the putters I had, the little blade putters I grew up with, had any lines on them. And so...
That's true.
And
yeah.
So I just got... This is just the way I aimed it. I mean, I just... And I was dead on. And it was just, you know, once I got the lie angle and the hosel design right, having no lines allowed me to see the target correctly. And it's just amazing. I mean, if you give me a center shafted putter, I can't... If I line it up from behind and know it's dead aimed and get on top of it, it looks like I'm hitting it a foot left of the target. So,
yes,
it's crazy.
That's true. And over the years, as I developed the system, not knowing that I'd actually have a putter fitting system at that time because I was much younger, but I, you know, as I started to work with different putters, I started to see what influences were greater than others over a large number of people, testing a large number of people. So one of the things that we found that was probably the biggest influence for most people, not everyone, but for most people, was the design of the hosel. So we took two hosels that were the most common that you see with putters, and one has kind of a swirl or S shape. The other one's a little more squared off, like an L shape. We call it the L shape, or like a plumber's neck
right.
shape. And it's amazing. We found that to be overall the biggest influence of whether you see that to the left or see that to the right. And that was, other than, you know, getting the right posture and the length from the length and the lie is definitely the hosel design. Then in each hosel design, we go from onset to 4 increments of offset. So wow. We have 5 voices in each hosel design. We don't have to test them all, because if they do really well, you know, with a slight offset, and as we go more offset, it gets worse, then we can tell where we need to be. So it's not that tedious of a process, but it's very interesting to see how much offset that person needs to see straight.
Exactly.
And after we get that, then we found that the head shape is the next amount of influence, and the lines that you were mentioning, probably the least amount of influence, however, it could make the greatest amount of difference. And it's amazing that when you go to a store and you look at putters and you see some with lines on top or line in the back, sometimes you don't even notice. And some of our students that we're fitting, sometimes they don't even notice that we've added a line, and yet the, you know, the alignment will be off the board. So
exactly.
It's pretty interesting.
Well, and I think, you know, I think people need to understand when you say off the board that you're using lasers, and you, the laser is being shot at a mirror on the face of the putter, and
yes,
it reflects back at the target. And what,
yes,
what surprised me was not only was I left, but I was about, my loft was so bad I was left and about a foot above the actual, you know, plane of the putting stroke. So it was like I was adding loft and aiming left, and it was,
yes, to kind of compensate.
Exactly.
Yes. And once you get those compensations in there, it makes putting more complicated. It's much harder to be consistent. So, you know, we want to get rid of, when we're doing the putter fitting, get rid of compensations, streamline everything toward the target.
So how do you choose head shape? I mean, if you're an average golfer out there, and I highly recommend if you can get to one of her fitters, and I'll have her give you some information at the end of the show where you can reach her, obviously, and you know, how you can find fit to aim fitters around the country. But so you think the hosel design is the most important?
I think it's the greatest amount of influence for most people.
Gotcha.
And, yes,
and then head design is followed, and
yes,
then and then the lines can have a huge effect on fine tuning it, I think, and sometimes,
yes,
messing you up, like me. So let me ask you this: what's this theory about face balanced versus toe down? I mean, is it just? I mean, to me, you know, all you hear about now in the industry is, well, are you a face balanced putter or are you an arc putter? And, you know, how important is that really? I mean,
I think, you know, some people may have a feel for that. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. As far as what we do, we're working a little bit more with aim, and when the aim gets there, the feel gets there.
Right.
So once you experience a little more accurate aim, nobody's right on every time, we're human, but if you can bring that aim in to just an inch outside the cup to anywhere inside the cup, as opposed to 2 feet left or right, that makes a huge difference on whether you're going to make a 6 foot putt or not.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing, is bringing that in a little bit more.
So being able to aim is more important.
Once we get that we don't use those kinds of things in the balance because we have offset.
Right.
So we have to, with the increments of offset, it's hard to do a center balanced putter.
I agree.
And we find that the fitting and the custom fit is actually more beneficial than just the design of the putter.
Yeah. And I think the industry's kind of pushed people into this concept of face balance versus toe down and arcing. And to be honest with you, if you can't aim it, is your point. If once you get the aim down and you're comfortably inside the cup, even if you're a little tiny bit right or left, but mostly inside the cup, then the stroke kind of takes care of itself. And
yes, exactly.
And that was kind of,
that's just the first step.
Yeah.
Once you can aim the putter better, and you can actually see you're aiming the putter better, just the stroke starts to streamline to the aim. So you start to see, once we get the putter that fits them, we have them putt several times, and pretty soon the push goes away. The pull goes away.
Exactly.
You know, the release becomes a little bit earlier. The path starts to be more consistent every time. You're not forever correcting your shot because it went left, or your putt because it went left or to the right, and then trying to bring it back again. It becomes more repeatable each time.
Right.
So, and then once that happens, the feel starts to happen. And we get comments all the time, and we did some YouTube videos where we do a follow-up after we fit someone for the putter and it's been ordered and it comes in. It's usually about 10 days or 2 weeks later, and the comments that we get are, oh, I can feel what's going on because now they've used it a little bit.
Right.
They can tell if they push it. They can make the corrections. We're all going to push once in a while or pull
sure.
and go, oh, I pushed it, you know?
Sure.
But making that correction instead of pushing the entire 18 holes
exactly.
is a huge difference.
Yeah. Now, yeah.
So being able to recognize when that's happening, that's the beneficial part that happens after the aim.
Right.
And pretty soon they start to get a feel for the putter because you know exactly where the putter head is as you're moving it through the pass. So pretty soon they get a sense of distance and speed. And it's amazing. It's almost immediate, maybe 5 minutes into the follow-up, that we start to see, oh, they're getting the ball to slow up at the hole instead of, you know, going by too far. Or we don't see putts ending up short. And, you know, they're getting the feedback from the putter. So it's amazing how all those things happen just from the fitting.
Right.
So reading breaks. You know, before, if you were aimed to the right and you pushed your putt and you didn't realize you're pushing it, now we tell them, even if you know it's going to break to the right, putt it straight because it may only break 2 inches. And you thought before it was breaking 2 feet. And that all of that, the reality of what's really going on, the ball starts to roll pure and straighter. And so if it's hitting a little side slope terrain or something on the ground, it's going to continue to roll pure, you know, through that, as opposed to if it's pushed and the roll is going a little sideways on the spin, and then it hits a little bit of a bank, it's going to go farther to the right.
Right.
So, you know, we're taking that part of the equation out of it and just going with what is exactly the terrain and what how much is that really going to break if you put a pure roll on the ball.
Right.
So that's a lot. But
yeah. Well, trust me, you know, I aimed left for so long that I basically would, you know, it was frustrating to me because I'd practice my putting because I, you know, I was a professional and I wanted to score better, and my putting numbers were horrible. And so I'd get out there and I'd spend hours, you know, throughout the week practicing. And it was like, you know, had I known how bad I was aiming, that I was like 4 to 5 inches left with my favorite putter. So the only way I was going to make it would be to push it or to reroute the putter. And what would happen is I'd miss to the left for a while and I'd analyze my misses and then I'd adjust and for like 2 weeks I was a pretty good putter because I was hitting the hole, and then my push was overcompensating and I start missing to the right, and then now I'm confused because now I've got to pull it, you know, I feel like I got to, why am I missing to the right? And so I was always constantly confused. My feedback was so confusing I could never get any better. And I think the whole concept you just mentioned was once that putter, that you're aiming it inside the hole, everything starts working. Everything that, you know, your practice is more, your feedback is better, and you're not putting side spin on the ball. And so, yeah, it's a pure roll. And to see that happen with your students after they get their fit putter is an amazing thing.
It really is, and it's fun to see them just laugh. You know, they'll hit a putt. You'll see that on the YouTube videos. They'll hit a putt. It keeps hitting the target, you know, and then they'll look up and just laugh, you know, because it's so amazing that could happen after struggling for so long. So it's really fun. Every time it's a different story, it's a different correction, and yet we see really, really good results.
So one of the things I found interesting when you and Kirk fit me, and I had been fit, but I never really got a chance for you to fit me, but I had my own system, and I was working with the Markhams, and they did a fitting on me too. But when I got the chance to work with you and Chris, it was you gave me a round putter grip. And
yeah.
So I think, and I still, you know, I have an oversized one, but it's round. There's no flat spot on it. And just to, you know, it was interesting to me how important grip size and texture was to putting, because it's such a feel-based motion.
Yes, it is. And we want the student to get a feel for the putter. You know, I always say this in my workshops. What are the three constants in putting that you want to be aware of? And the answers are, they varied from the stroke, how I stand, you know.
Exactly.
And really, if you just simplified it, it's just the ball, the hole, and your putter. You're using the same putter every time.
Yeah.
So, you know, using the weight of the putter, using it as an instrument that you'll be, you know, using to make your performance, they're able to use the putter weight after a while. The improvement, the amazing thing is, it could go on for a year or two as far as the improvement goes, because they're going beyond what they think they need to know to putt well. And they're doing that in a very natural way. You know, and they'll come in once in a while, take a putting lesson or take a class or something like that. But once they understand in our classes that the putter is a constant, and to use it, you know, for different distances, use the weight of the putter, release the putter. That's where we get into the real technique. Whereas before, it's been a little bit of a Band-Aid thing. You know,
right.
Oh, only take it back this far. Oh, put a stick here so you can line it up to the hole.
Right.
You know, things like that. They're helpful, but they don't really get to the root of the problem as far as getting it correct and then, you know, continue to learn, continue to get better with it. So that's what we do. And a lot of the students that have the putters, they come back once a year or so, do a class, get refreshed with it, and learn something new, and then continue on.
Well, I think what's really neat is, first of all, when I finally got a putter that I knew I was aiming correctly, it freed me up to really start having confidence again in my putting. And so I highly recommend that you take an opportunity. Now, Chris has put up a YouTube channel called Fit to Aim. And I think if you're out there and you're interested in what we're talking about, and that I've looked at several of them so far. She's got 12 different short YouTube videos on her channel. It's called Fit to Aim. I would suggest you get over there and potentially subscribe to it, because not only does she talk about results-driven, and the whole thing she does is all results-driven. The putter that they designed for you is a result-driven putter. It's one that works. And, you know, and she goes through how to choose a putter. She talks about the different aspects, hosel design, lie angle, head shape, grip and texture, length. And then she has some specific YouTube videos on, and I'm going to let her talk to you about this, and more to come. So she has some on, you tell them, because I haven't watched them all yet, so
Yes, they're really short.
Yep.
Under a minute. There might be one or two that are over that a little bit, but we go through each of the design features, the length, the lie. Each one is very short. We only talk about the one thing. We talk about hosel design, amount of offset. There's another video just on head shape and how do you understand how the shapes of the head. And we chose our shapes through, you know, years ago there was the bullseye putter, then there was something a little more rectangular there, you know, we've always had mallets, so we've done a small mallet and a larger mallet. And again, then the line configurations came into it. Also the grips, I mean, getting back to the grip, you know, we put round grips on. We want to give you feel and texture so that when you hold your putter, it feels like this is mine. This is what I like the feel of. Is it velvety? Is it, you know, smooth? Is it rougher? You know, everybody's different. And we try to get the grip size so that your hands can relax and be comfortable, and again, get that feel of the putter. So, you know, we talk about all of those things just very briefly so that you get an idea of what's involved in choosing a putter. It's called How to Choose a Putter. You know, what kinds of things should be considered? What actually works? Things like that. So we go through those. We also, you know, we thought instead of testimonials, let's just show some follow-ups. Once the putter's been fit, what's the reaction? Some of them will have things that we're correcting, comments from people. We had one person say, who's actually quite a good golfer, single handicap golfer, and he says, you know, once I started to see the aim better, my chipping was better. Because they got a sense of, you know, the aim with that. So all these videos will have comments about what they're seeing, what they're feeling. Maybe it's just, you know, a laugh at the end, or maybe it's surprise. And, you know, it looks, I just kind of showing them hitting putts. Some of the putts are missed a little bit, and then the comment's going to be, ah, I could tell I pushed that. So all of these things, you're getting that experience it's called the fit to aim, result driven, and all of those will be follow-ups from the when they're just been fit for a putter, or and including many times when the putter arrives and when we actually do a follow-up.
Yeah, and there's four of those in there, so they're kind of neat. I just watched one of them. And I did. So all the ones that you did that are called result driven are follow ups.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
And wow. So basically,
it's the reaction as soon as we said, okay, it's custom fit. We're done with the fitting. This is what your putter is going to be like. So it could be at the end of the fitting session. It could be once their actual putter arrives. Then we review what we did in the fitting session. And the interesting thing is, you know, when you go to buy a putter off the rack, you buy it, you're done, you go out, you figure out how to get it to work, which is why so many people have 20 putters in the garage, right?
Yes.
But what we actually do
Guilty.
In the fitting session, it's a fitting session for us to fit the golfer, but it's a learning session or lesson from the golfer's end. Oh, you know, we want to bring your posture up so that you can get a better shoulder turn. We want to bring your posture up so your hand position can be get the grip pressure at a better place. It's, you know, we're they're learning along the lines of what so many times, particularly that I said the offset is a big influence. Many times it's the putter's offset, and the more offset you go, generally speaking, a lot of people see that as left. Pretty soon, their stance is left. So if they came in the door with their putter, it's very offset, the stance is left. As soon as we start changing the hosel without saying anything, the stance starts to align so that it's parallel to the target line. So things like that, it's just a step-by-step making the corrections, getting rid of bad habits. So at the end, they might have three or four things that they have to remember to do to break the bad habit. And it's usually pretty easy because once the putter's set down, it's just there. So,
how important is ball position?
But I think that's the interesting part, is that process of the learning experience from the golfer's side.
Do you notice ball position change?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot. Particularly, again, with the hosel offset.
Right.
The more offset, generally speaking, they tend to de-loft it because it looks straighter. And, of course, then when it's hard to putt, if there's no, if it's de-lofted where you don't have any degrees of loft, and it's, the face is actually pointing toward the ground. So that's pretty hard to put a good roll on the ball.
Yes.
And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes it's very offset, and they increase the loft to compensate for that offset hosel, which I think you mentioned you did.
Yes.
And pretty soon the laser light, instead of being on the board, it might be 6 feet higher than the board.
Yeah, it could be up on the wall above the board.
Yes, where exactly.
I nailed it exactly. Up there a few times.
And then again, same thing. Really hard to putt. The ball doesn't leave the face with a pure roll.
Right. No, it's... I remember when I first got the system, when I became a regional, and I went out and we started doing it. I did a lot of it over at Hagen Oaks for a while. And, you know, not being a brand name, people are kind of skeptical. And the reality is that there's so many more options in your fitting cart that allows the student to get the putter that they're the right length. I mean, the hosel designs to me were, and the lie angle, the difference that the lie angle created with the hosel. So all the lie angles that you deal with are all dealt with in the hosel design. So,
yeah,
you have the same hosel design in like five or six different lie angle options. And so it was, you know, it's a process to get it done and get it done right. But once it's there, I immediately began to notice such an improvement, not only in posture, but alignment and just the ball position would move instinctively to where they were actually releasing it at the bottom of the arc and the ball was just dead rolling dead over. I mean, there was no side spin. It was amazing to watch. For me, it was just amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, we would do some seminars with golf pros that were fitting with Henry Griffiths from around the country, Florida, Texas, you know, Minnesota, you know, wherever they were in the country, because there's different kinds of grass. And there's always been that thought that, oh, do you need more loft if it's a different kind of grass in the South, for example? And every fitter said it was never a problem.
Nope.
It didn't even come into play.
Well, and so that's because of the options. I thought it was the hosel design options that created no issues with loft. I mean, that was what...
It's mostly that, yes.
Yeah, because I was one of those believers. I mean, you made a believer out of me because I thought, man, I always played with more loft because I grew up in the South on Bermuda greens, and suddenly I'm in the North and I'm on bent grass, and I'm thinking, okay, you know. But to be honest with you, once I got everything dialed in and the hosel design was correct, and I used kind of the S hosel, and everything just, it was never an issue.
No,
never an issue at all.
Never an issue. It was amazing. All those kinds of things that we think, theory-wise, have an effect. Once the putter fits, they really don't have much effect at all. So,
yeah, and I think...
And, you know, what's really interesting, we also have left-handed. And our left-handed students are so excited because if you go to the store, there's not much choice.
No.
And here they get a custom-fit putter, the same fitting process as for the right-handed golfer. So...
Well... I just want to let my audience know that it made a huge difference. It educated me. It made me a smart consumer. I now use putters that I know I can aim, that I feel confident with. And, you know, it just changed my entire concept of putting. And so it's interesting for me today to hear that, you know, the options you have with the OEM manufacturers today are pretty limited. I mean, they come up with the design, and the pros use them, and, you know, and so everybody rushes out to get them, and, you know, and I went in and just, I was at golf, I won't say the name, but I was at one of these discount facilities and big superstores, and I went in, and they had a putter SAM system, and I was watching them work with one of my students, and, you know, the only thing they offered my student was the option of a face balance, which required a closed to open stroke. And this is their terminology, or a arcing putter, which was they had a strong arc, medium arc, and a light arc. Okay, and so those were the options, and they would do is put them in the machine, and it was very easy to aim in this machine because it's all linear. I mean, there's no margin of error, and then they'd watch you stroke it and determine if you were better off with a face balanced or an arc putter. And that was it. That was all they had to offer. And when you come in to your system, the options are endless. It's just length, hosel design, lie angles, all of this. And if, you know, it's unfortunate that the industry has just simplified it because they fit the masses. And it's just like with Henry Griffith's club fitting, You know, we fit individuals. You're fitting the individual to their style, to their body type, to their aiming style. It's just so far superior to anything that's out there. And with that being said, how does the audience find you or one of your fitters?
On the website. So fit2aim.com. Okay. It's F-I-T, the numerical number 2, and A-I-M.com. Okay. And then there's a locations fitters on the menu. And you can click there. And we used to have a lot of fitters. And, of course, you know, once we had the recession, it got a little less. And then I have many people who I just use. My accounts are good teachers.
Right.
So, you know, they've been teaching for many years. And, you know, some retire, things like that. But I have 3 in Canada, 1, you know, back in Ontario, 1 in Victoria, 1 up north of Vancouver. I have 2 in California and 1 in Florida. I have 2 in Georgia and near Atlanta. Also in Idaho, in Boise, Idaho. 2 in Texas. Texas is a big golf area, and of course Kirk, who also teaches with me. We do quite a few in our studio here outside of Seattle.
Right, and so, I just bopped up your website as you were talking, because I had always just gone to Chris Aoki, but now I'm at the Fit to Aim, and I can tell you right now, Brian Hahn at Cordova Bay is an amazing instructor. You've got Brian Morrissey in Ontario, Martin Mills in Kelowna, and they're all Kelowna's in BC too. That's a little bit north.
It's just north of Vancouver, a little north.
And of course, you got the Markhams and Kenny Sheba in the LA area. Michael and Kenny and Sonny are just tremendous friends. In fact, Michael and Kenny will be here next week for the PGA show. We're going to spend some time together.
Great! And they're very interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Really, really good teachers. Amazing.
Yeah. Kenny's
amazing.
Still at Industry Hills.
You know, I'm just so lucky I have such great teachers on board to fit the putters, and that's what you need. Steve Resch, of course, in Florida, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm looking at the lineup here. They're all master HG club fitters also. So,
yes.
I mean, you go in there, you get the
Absolutely.
Whole experience.
They understand how, you know, the equipment affects the motion, and that's very true to what we're doing with Fit to Aim.
Well, I wish I was in a more active location so that it would be beneficial for me to fit for you. It's just I'm kind of handcuffed a little bit at my current location. I can't really access the public very well. So, if I was at a public facility, I can assure you that I would be fitting your putters, because it just goes hand in hand with club fitting. And
yes, that's true.
You know, I'm
hoping, you know, as we're getting more into the social media and Facebook, we'll have some, you know, interesting things on that, you know, that people will, it's very much true for me. A lot of golfers just Google putter fitting, and in my area, I come up first.
Perfect.
So that's it. There's a lot of people who would come and look for you, because I can't tell you how many just decided they want to get fit for a putter, and really what they were getting at some of the box stores, and really they could tell that wasn't really what they wanted. And you know, of course, when you come and see us, it's going to take an hour to get fit, as opposed to a 10 or 15 minute thing. And they want the real professional, you know, putter fitting, as they would club fitting as well. So, and of course, we do Henry Griffith's club fitting. We've done it since 1985, long time.
Yes.
And
88 for me.
We just wouldn't do anything else.
No.
So
I wouldn't play any other clubs actually either. So.
Yeah.
You know, and just because we know the quality and how they're made, and the tolerances are so well, and the way we do things, and the putter fitting system was phenomenal. I used to go out, you know, as a regional training director, and I actually did, went up with Brian Hahn up at Cordova Bay. He was one of my accounts and spent about 4 or 5 days up there. And he had a really neat way that he had a setup for putter fitting. And, you know, it was very interesting to see. To be honest with you, watching you, when I went, and you were one of my accounts too, when you went up there, this was in 2000, I believe in 2005 or 6, I went up there, and you guys put me through a putter fitting, and I took that putter, I ordered it from the company, and I took that putter, and I putted lights out with it until, for at least 3 years, and then I was flying to go to a golf trip, and basically the hosel broke off in the airplane, and I got to this tournament, oh. and I had no putter, and I was completely lost. I mean, I just had no confidence in my putter anymore. So I can tell you, when you're confident that you can aim it, it's just a question of just seeing it, feeling it, and rolling it, and no more compensations, no more, you know, rerouting the putter and playing what I call army putting, where you're left for a week and then you're in the hole and then you're right for a week. It was so frustrating to me. And
yes, it's much more reliable.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, too, if something like that happens to the hosel, it's pretty inexpensive because we could just replace the hosel.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Which I did. I sent it back up
because of airlines or yep. You know the garage door fell on the okay. putter or whatever yeah, happened.
Or you know you have it sitting on the cart seat and it slides off and you run over it with the cart. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's happened. So, but yeah, no, it was an easy fix. I just shipped it back to the factory and they took care of it for me. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I want to thank you for coming on the show. What else, is there anything else you'd like to share with us today? Because we have time.
You know, I was kind of thinking, we had talked about this before.
Okay.
You know, this is about the putter fitting and fit to aim. And I think, you know, if it works for you, I'd like to do another one more about the results of the putter. You know, more about things in putting. You know, you see things on YouTube, you see things that, you know, people are doing that their tips and things like that.
Correct.
And I think it'd be kind of fun to do something about the actual putting stroke or some of the how do you set up so that it's consistent every time.
Yes.
What's the right tempo? You know, how do you create the path so that it's repeatable? You know, what should the grip pressure be like? You know, how is it really just your shoulders and your lower body is really still? Should it be the same for everyone? You know, these kinds of things. Should your stance be square and parallel to your target line? How do you get to know when you set the putter down that it's sitting perfectly flat every time? What should you look at? You know, there's so many of these little things that really they don't get addressed that much when you look for tips on YouTube. And really, I think most golfers, they go to the practice putting green, they hit a few putts. You know, most of them hit practice long putts. And really, those short ones with 6 feet and in, those are the ones that are going to go in the hole more often.
Yes.
You know, just how to practice. These kinds of things, and I think there's so much with putting. I always tell my students, the putter's the most important club in the bag.
It
and
is.
Yet, you know, we're worried about the technique with the driver or, you know, our wedge shots or something like this. And there's, we kind of, because when we look at putting, it looks like, well, I ought to be able to do this, you know. But there's so much more involved in putting, the skill of it and the art of it, that we really know. And when you get into that and you work on it, to me, it's so exciting. But I think for the average golfer, putting doesn't seem exciting. But
no.
Once you have information, what to work on, what kinds of things are out there, what are the possibilities, then I think putting has more luster, you know? Well, when you go to play golf.
Yeah, and I think if most amateurs actually tracked how many putts they had around, they'd be kind of shocked at how bad they actually really are. And I agree with you, they don't spend as much time on it as they do on their swing. I mean, I get them in there and I go, so I'd like to break 100. And I go, well, let's go work on your short game. No, I want to hit it better. And I went,
yeah,
well, you might get 4 or 5 shots better over the course of 3 or 4 months. If we can work on your swing, you might be able to knock 5 or 6, 8 shots off if you can, you know, get it out in the fairway more often. But if you can reduce your putting from 40 to 30, that's 10 shots.
Absolutely. But, you know, and I think the reason is no one knows what to work on.
Yep.
What I'm saying, they want to go out and hit some balls and work on their alignment or their tempo or something with the driver. But then, what exactly should you work on with putting? What are the first things you should work on? You know, once you accomplish those things, what are the next things that you should work on with putting? You know, and I think that it's a little arbitrary as far as tips go. And it doesn't follow a structure and a progression so that you can become skilled at putting. And it's something everyone can do. You can be a senior. You can be, you know, a child. You know, you could be a beginner. You could be a 2-handicap. You know, there's just everyone. You shave a few strokes off. It's not so much to me about the score or shaving a few strokes off or making more putts. It's about feeling like you can do it, you know?
Interesting. I'm all about making less putts, but so I feel,
you know,
like...
Because if you feel like you can do it, that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little interim step that gets you there. Yes, the ultimate goal is to have lower scores, but you could just keep putting and putting and it may not happen.
Yeah, well,
but
trust
if you
me.
Have certain things that you're working on that are really quite easy, simple, and then you're going to get results much faster with a few little things on putting than you will on trying to get 15 more yards on your driver.
I hear you.
You know?
Well, it's like, you know, once I had confidence that when I finally realized, thanks to the work that I did with you and with Chuck Hogan back in the day on aiming, I realized that I was a lousy aimer with the putter and kind of a little bit on the golf course. And once I learned aiming techniques, man, that changed everything. And then once I realized that putting, the style of your putter was so important to your ability to actually get it aimed correctly, once I discovered those two things, everything changed. I mean, I became a confident putter, and I didn't worry about how I was going to do every day. I just knew that if I got it lined up right and made a good stroke, I was going to make the putt. And it's very easy to get feedback when you know you're aiming correctly. And so it just changed everything for me. And I would encourage anybody out there that struggles with their putting to get over to go check out Fit to Aim. That's FIT number 2 Aim, the website, and go to YouTube and go to her YouTube channel, Fit to Aim, and check her videos out and get some education and get some help. And I listen, Chris, I would love to do any kind of show you want on putting. So
I think that would be great because I get so many, you know, students, new students coming in the door saying, I don't know what to work on. You know, I try to set up this way, you know, and how did you figure out to do it? Well, my friend told me this is how I should do it. You know, we're not working with the person and their coordination, their, I like to call it, natural resources,
right?
You know, of their hand-eye coordination and their, you know, we want to simplify it so that we don't have to try to line up a line on the ball or,
right,
you know, pick spot in front or all of these things. When you really get the putting down, those things go away.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like when you just get up and hit your driver.
Well, you
it's
can.
It's kind of the same thing. We get into some things in putting because we think that's the way that's going to help us do better. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, figuring out what works for each person, again, and making it easier so they're comfortable when they putt. So they look at it and go, I can make this, as opposed to, I don't know where this is going to go.
Exactly.
Yes, and that to me is the joy of it, the challenge of, I know I can make this. We might miss it, but having that mental feeling starting out makes all the difference in tackling that, you know, sinking that putt.
No question. And so listen, I'm on board. So this is exciting. So I want to, you know, obviously thank you again for coming on today, but we're going to get together after this show and maybe we just put some, you know, 15, 20 minute episodes up on things to do and drills to do and just your concept, because not only did you develop this fit to aim, but you are, again, the putter sensei in my mind. You know more about putting than I could ever know, because it's just been your passion for so many years. And to get out and do some more shows and share some of your insight into actual putting would be something that we're going to do, no question about it.
That'd be great. I would love to do that. And again, it's because I think, you know, golfers are a little bit lost sometimes on what to work on.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you reach a certain point, then now what? You know?
I want to do the show, so I'll get some more pointers, and I can share with my students as well.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's the whole idea with golf. It's a big community.
It is. And
it's a big community.
It is. And, and we get these shows out, and I put them in all the golf groups, and we share so much information out there, and there's a ton of it, and the key is get good information. That would be my choice. I mean, there's sometimes, if you Google, you know, like how to cure a slice, there's going to be 150 different options out there.
Yes, absolutely.
And so which one do I do, you know?
Yeah, some are good for you, and some are good for somebody else.
Exactly.
So, you know, the more you improve your skill at whatever part of the golf game you're working on, the more you realize what things are good for you and what things you may want to skip.
Yes.
It doesn't mean they're bad. It means it may not work for you. So, you know, that's kind of, you need to be able to pick and choose,
I agree.
Know, what would work.
Or at least know what works should be. You should be focused on, not just something that's randomly put out there.
Yes,
it's like
exactly.
The concept of the slice. Well, are you, is it a face slice or a pass slice or a combination of both? I mean, you know, you got to be careful what you're trying to work on, because it's just way too much information. And I don't think people really understand what it is they need. So I am looking forward to doing some more shows with you. And I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing just the fit to aim concept and how important that is to free up your putting, to be to build your confidence back up, to know that you have a tool that actually works with you. And that's so powerful. And I want to thank you for coming on. Chris, tell Kirk I said hello. And
thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
This was really great. I love talking to you and doing these podcasts. It's fantastic.
Well, it's great to get your knowledge out and share it with other people. And as we get older, mentoring and helping other people is what we do. And we're teachers, we're coaches, and it's where our passion is. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And we will bring Chris back and talk more putting in the future. And with that, I'm going to say adios to my audience today, and fairways and greens. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.